League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, Packers fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening. I know it's been a long week thus far.
Yeah, I got a good chance to work on my tan, and my hair's a little messy from all the wind, but otherwise, it's been great.
I know. I can see the sun still reflecting off Ryan's head over here.
My face is it's about the same color as my shirt, and my shirt is red. So, yeah, I'm feeling it.
All got a little sun the past couple of days. I'm curious how the New Orleans Saints players reacted to it coming from a swamp in New Orleans. You know, was it hotter than they thought it would be? That could be an interesting question maybe to ask them after the game.
Oh, Dennis Allen was saying that it was great. He couldn't believe how good the weather was, and that he usually comes in to do the presser and he's just soaked from top to bottom. Uh-huh. You know?
Well, one of the Saints writers, Nick Underhill, was telling me that it was hotter up here than it was in New Orleans. Now, what's the difference for us as beat writers compared to Dennis Allen, his crew? They're on grass and not on that rubber track next to the Don Hudson Center.
Yes.
That, you know, that's a 10 to 15 degree, but I'm not kidding. I was a little floored when I heard that, but he said that it was hotter up here these past 2 days than it had been down there.
That's what I always try to explain to people. One, whenever people are like, well, you're from Alabama where it's hot and humid, how is this hot? Hot is hot, no matter where you're at. Hot is hot.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with that.
Okay, let me finish. Hot is hot. It is not near as humid here as it is in Alabama, New Orleans, Mississippi, Florida. It is a lot more humid there. You can't breathe from the humidity. So that is a much different sort of hot, but hot is still hot.
I was going to agree with you that there's our hot, you know, and then there's like Miami hot, which I can't deal with.
Right.
When New Orleans hot. That's just too muggy. Anyway.
They also get daily storms, which can knock the heat off at times. But that being said, to Ryan's point, where we're standing, watching the practice, you were on that rubber track, emits heat. You were right in front of that metal building, which bounces back the heat. And where we've been standing this week, there is no breeze.
Hot is hotter on rubber. It radiates heat. I'm not a scientist, but I'm just telling you, from my experience, you're on grass, it's hot.
Yeah.
You go on rubber, on this rubber kind of like a high school track. You stand on that for 2.5 hours, that's hot.
Yeah. Now that we've spent a sufficient amount of time talking about the weather, let's talk about the football that we saw over the past couple of days, the New Orleans Saints coming into town for joint practices with the Green Bay Packers. Guys, we saw a lot of good on good, one versus ones, Green Bay Packers ones on offense versus the Saints ones on defense and vice versa. I'm just going to kind of start broad strokes here. Spoon, why don't you start us off? What were some of your biggest takeaways about the Packers that maybe you had not seen from them when they were just practicing against themselves?
Well, I think in really just to summarize the whole thing, like defense is dominated on both sides. And whether that was because of how the drills were set up or because these are two defensive teams, I don't know. But the Packers, I thought, were pretty dominant on defense, particularly with their pass rush. Now, sometimes I think the first day their run defense wasn't all that great, but I was surprised to see them get pass rush, you know, not only from the first team, but the second team too. I wasn't sure going in how that would go. And you could just see they had pressure all the time. And it bodes well for the season. It doesn't mean that that's who they're necessarily going to be, but that's what stood out to me was their pass rush.
Ryan, is that what stood out to you as well? Or was there anything else that sort of stood out?
Yeah, so, I mean, to Spoon's point, the second team, you know, Aaron Rodgers said this week in describing why he thought this Packers defense is so good, he went through every position. Every position, there's no holes, he said. Mm-hmm. And that's true. I think we all knew that going into camp. The question was, what if you puncture one of those positions with a hole in the form of an injury because of the depth, right? A third safety, a fourth corner, a third, fourth, fifth outside linebacker. But I think what I noticed, you know, and Spoon and I kind of flip-flopped. I watched the Packers offense day one, defense day two. What I noticed in day two is you're starting to see a little bit of depth. You know, J.J. Enagbare, he's come on in the past week. Vernon Scott seems to be entrenched in that third safety spot right now. Sean Davis as a fourth safety has looked pretty good. Chris Barnes. He had a really good day of practice right from the start of practice today. He had a tackle for loss, a PBU, and a sack right at the beginning. You're starting to see some depth on that side of the ball. It's early and it needs to continue to develop, but I think that's a promising sign. And so I'll say on the other side of the ball, the receivers were called out by Aaron Rodgers day one. They did not have a good practice. You saw each of the three primary young receivers, Romeo Doubs, Amari Rodgers and Samari Toure, you saw each of them respond on day two. They each made plays. Dobbs had two catches for 18 yards with the starters in the two-minute drill. Amari Rodgers had a 19-yard catch over the middle. And then the very next play, Jordan Love hit Samari Toure for a 50-yard bomb on a touchdown that have the only touchdown on either of the 2 days for the two-minute drill on starting offense or backup offense. And then Toure caught the 2-point conversion. Each of those young guys came back and had a better day. I think that's promising for them as well.
Speaking of being called out by Rodgers and having a better day, we learned on Wednesday that the receivers were called into a meeting on Wednesday morning with Aaron Rodgers, and that might not have been something he would have really done in the past, but he had them come in and he went through a film session with them. And it wasn't just the young receivers. It was every receiver. You know, Samari Toure told us, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, they were all in there as well, sort of giving their input, their advice. But Rodgers really wanted to sit down with the young receivers and show them on film, like, you know, on the field, the bullets are flying. Let's step back and look at it and see what I'm saying. And really challenge them to rise to the occasion. And that's exactly what Samari Toure said. He said, when your quarterback challenges you to rise to the occasion, that's what you have to do. And he said, I feel like we did that at least a little bit better on Wednesday. You know, is that enough? Who's to say? With that in mind, Spoon, is this receiving unit on course to be ready by the season opener?
I thought Matt LaFleur handled the question of, you know, Rodgers calling out the wide receivers and was sort of the voice of reason saying, you know, they know this is a very much a work in progress and they expect speed bumps. And, you know, Rodgers' thing to me is probably really premeditated. I think this is all his way of flexing his muscles and making it known to these guys that, you know, the regular season's coming and they need to clean some of their game up. But it's not, you know, I don't think it's like really organic. I think it's him saying, all right, I'm going to do something here and I'm going to exert my leadership and they're going to start running these routes the way I want them to be run. And so and LaFleur, on the other hand, is like, you know, some of these rookies are flashing some really good stuff. You know, he mentioned Romeo Dobbs getting off the line of scrimmage, and he's 100% right. Dobbs has been really impressive getting off the line of scrimmage against.
And he was doing it against Marcus Lattimore for a few, several times the past 2 days.
Yeah. And the fact he didn't finish and dropped a pass. That's a downer. And, you know, there's other mistakes he made, but he's been more than they could absolutely have hoped for when they got him. And now they gotta, you know, now next week they gotta get Christian Watson doing that kind of stuff and find out what they can get out of him. But it's all a process. It's all just gonna be a process leading up to the Vikings game. And then it's a process through the regular season too.
Spoon, to your point about it being premeditated, what did Rodgers say earlier in camp? If he's coaching you hard, it's a good thing. If he's not acknowledging you exist, that's when you should worry. And I know, you know, Romeo Dobbs, just the way he's wired, I mean, he has high expectations for himself. He's taken a couple of these coaching hard to heart. I mean, he's taken it hard. And that's a good thing for Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it was clearly he's sending a message that it's got to get better, because he knows it's got to get better, because he knows that these young guys are going to be part of the offense.
With that in mind, Ryan, with the with the season opener September 11th, so it's 3 weeks away, a little more than 3 weeks away. We know that Rodgers wants Cobb on the field, probably Sammy Watkins as well, Alan Lazard. Where can these young guys fit in? And will it be right away? Or to Spoon's point about it being a work in progress, is that going to extend far into the season?
All spots are open after Alan Lazard. He's the number one receiver right now. But if you notice, if you just chart the practice reps, Romeo Dobbs is getting first team reps. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he had two catches for 18 yards in the first team 2-minute drill a day after Aaron Rodgers called out the young receivers. All spots are wide open. Would not surprise me at all if you saw Romeo Dobbs, especially part of this offense from the very get-go. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is saying he likes Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins because as veterans, they have a certain feel for how to practice, how to be pros that the young guys are still acquiring. But at the end of the day, it's about talent and production. And so whoever's going to produce is going to get the snaps and the opportunities.
I bet we'll see Samari Toure get some snaps. It will be with Jordan Love, but I'll bet you now we start to see him get integrated a little bit into that. You know, once a guy starts to make some plays, then, you know, they elevate him. And I think we're going to see him start to get some of those reps. And, you know, like, we haven't seen Randall Cobb practice a whole lot. He doesn't get a ton of reps. Lazard and Sammy Watkins are usually the starters. And, you know, and then they kind of rotate guys in. Dobbs has been, they know what Cobb can do. But to me, I agree with you that the it's Lazard. And then however it falls into place, you know, who's the guy who's hot at the time or starting to produce. And today it was Samari Toure. So all of a sudden, I'll bet you we see him more on the field on Friday night.
Yeah, I think we talked about this today, Spoon. I said to you, Samari Toure is going to mess around and make this 53-man roster. Because we didn't know if he would a week ago. But between family night, his performance versus the 49ers, and then now the past 2 days versus the Saints, he's really, really made a push and a bid for this, and not having Danny Davis there today, who I know was as originally signed as an undrafted free agent, but he missed but he's really come on the past couple of weeks, had a great game versus the 49ers. They really liked him. He missed Wednesday with an ankle injury. Samari Toure probably got more reps than he would have if Danny Davis had been there.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was a shame. He was limping pretty badly in the locker room when I saw him, and it's a shame because he's just coming off a great, great game. And now,
yeah,
right, Toure is the beneficiary, and he made you know,
he took advantage
that time.
Yeah. And like you said, do feel bad for Danny Davis. I feel like they find a way to, even if he doesn't make the 53, which was probably a long shot in the first place, I think they keep him here on the practice squad.
I would think so.
Yeah. Let's look a little bit farther in the backfield on this offense. Guys, coming into this season or through this offseason, we really felt like the run game would be the strength of this offense purely because of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. The question was, what could the offensive line do to help it and or hurt it? After 2 days of seeing them go up against a defensive line like the Saints with Cam Jordan and those guys, helping or hurting? Ryan?
I think a fascinating potential problem developing on this offense is that you have an offensive line that's ahead in pass pro that is a run blocking. You know, from a pass pro standpoint, Packers offensive line, look, Jordan Love, then he gets sacked. They've held up pretty well. You know, day one when I was watching the offense, their plays were coming in the pass game. They were not, I don't know, Spoon, about day two, but they were not getting anything going in the run game day one. They were not getting push. The Saints defensive line was living in the backfield, but they were doing okay. They were doing okay in the pass game and pass pro. Well, that's a problem for this offense because this offense needs to run the ball. Because after Aaron Rodgers, your two best players are Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And you want to get those guys the ball as much as possible. Now, Aaron Rodgers did say this week that he could see Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon both having 50 catches apiece in this offense, which I think when you look at the tube deep is like, duh. I mean, that's a pretty obvious statement. Yeah,
that number's not that crazy, especially when you look at what they did last season.
No, and even Aaron Rodgers is like, well, it's like three a game for each guy. That, and the thing is, and I wrote about this a week ago before Aaron Rodgers came out and basically said this himself, getting those guys together on the field together is going to be important for this offense, because if you want your best 11 on both sides of the ball on offense, that means Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. They're in your best 11. Mm-hmm. So, and Aaron Jones told me he's been, him and A.J. Dillon both have been stumping with Matt LaFleur for a while now to get him on the field together. But back to the offensive line, that's the engine for this offense is the run game. That is the foundation, it's the bedrock of they're going to have success. They're not only going to be able to generate production yards on the ground running the ball, but it's also the key to unlock their passing game with the play action pass. Because you don't have dynamic perimeter talent at receiver, you're going to really need to schematically be able to rely on the deception of the play action game. And you can't do that if you don't run the ball. So it's fascinating to me that this offensive line is ahead in pass pro than it is in run blocking when they're really going to need to run the ball.
Spoon, you told us last week that the one-on-ones had drawn your attention away from the offensive line, which was usually your favorite thing to watch. Have you gone back to the offensive line any this week, especially with Elgton Jenkins back out there going through some of the unit drills with them? And if so, how much different can this line look if Elgton Jenkins is ready for week one?
I didn't spend a lot of time watching them.
We're abandoning them. They should feel offended.
Well, they didn't do any one-on-ones, so it wasn't, you know, that much. I did watch the run game to some degree. A.J. Dillon had a couple of really nice runs today that would have been nice gains. Uh-huh. On the other hand, I didn't see Aaron Jones really get much. I think we'll know more when we watch. It'll probably be Tyler Goodson and Dexter Williams on Friday night. But whatever, you know, they'll probably play that starting offensive line, and they need to get some production out of the run game. They flashed a few things against the 49ers, but their short yardage was so bad that it kind of overshadowed everything else. I agree. I think that run blocking is going to be an issue, but I think when Elgton Jenkins comes back, he's just the cure-all for a lot of problems, not everything, but he, all of a sudden you're putting in like a Pro Bowl player and replacing a guy who probably doesn't deserve to be a starter. So, you know, that's a big replacement, you know?
You called him a cure-all, and for some reason I just like immediately saw the commercial in my head. Elgton Jenkins is the spokesperson for like Band-Aids or, you know, Flex and Seal or Windex or, you know, something that people just use as duct tape. Yeah. Yes. Gorilla glue. And him coming in with every problem.
Expandable foam.
Huh? Yeah.
Expandable foam.
Being like, have a problem? Elton's here. Stick some duct tape on it. And like, man, that would just sell itself.
You break, I fix.
Do what? You break, I fix. There we go. I can see the commercial just writes itself. I'm going to talk to Elton about that. When he signs this endorsement deal, I'm going to want a finder's fee. A cut for it. Anyways.
The other thing, before we move on, the big question is when is Bakhtiari going to come back next week?
Right.
So, you know, I've started to see him do some of the things that Elgton Jenkins was doing before he got cleared. But, you know, we don't really know what he's doing inside, you know, some of the other stuff. So the countdown continues with him and we'll know a lot more. I think they practice either Sunday or Monday.
As Matt LaFleur has taken to saying this training camp, he no longer pays attention to timelines because I think he's gotten bitten one too many times, especially with David Bakhtiari, listening to a timeline, pinning hopes on a timeline, and then it not working out. So at this point, if it's me, I'm not planning on having him back anytime soon. And if he comes back, it's just a huge bonus.
Oh, changes everything, really.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Let's do flip to the defensive side of the ball. Guys, we got a fight today. We'd been waiting to see if there was a fight that would pop up between these two teams. And really, both of these defenses are huge jawers. J-A-W-E-R-S. They jaw a lot.
Well, yes. Some of them do. Not all of them. I don't think the Packers are a big mouthy team. You know, I think they got a couple guys who can lip off, but
yeah, more so in the secondary. That's what I'm really thinking of. And Tuesday, Rasul Douglas, when we asked him about the fact that he had been kind of jawing off at Jarvis Landry earlier in the day, he said, that's just part of my game. And I said, well, we don't really know that about you yet. I guess we're still getting to know you. And he said, yeah, y'all haven't spent enough time around me yet to realize. And so I would not have really expected it.
I think they've got more jawers than they've had in the past. You know, Eric Stokes, obviously Jair Alexander can talk. Rasul Douglas can talk. Rashawn Gary can absolutely talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Devondre Campbell and Kenny Clark.
He's a talker. He's a talker.
Devondre Campbell is? Really?
Yeah, I heard him talking.
I feel like Quay Walker could play an entire game without saying a word.
Yeah, exactly. And like Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, you know.
TJ Slayton can talk.
I did not know that Devondre Campbell was a talker. He's just got that quiet demeanor, you know?
I know. I mean, I don't know how much he does it during the game, but I know I've seen him just – whether he's talking to guys individually or just talking to the team, you know, showing his bravado to the other team, like, don't throw it towards me. I've seen him do some of that stuff.
Yeah, they got some talkers on this defense. You know, this is, let's wait till they get to the games, right? But this is a defense that seems to have a bit of a nasty streak. You know, they've got a little – They're feisty. I think the word that Brian Gutekunst used it was salty. It's a salty. They're not just talented. They are talented. They fly around, and they got some playmakers. But they got some of that saltiness to them too.
Yeah, and they can, and like Kenny Clark said, you know, they can talk, but you know they better walk the walk too. So. Mm-hmm. You know, which comes first? It should be, you know, you should walk the walk and then the talk comes later.
Rasul Douglas was asked on Tuesday, the question was, and I quote, I've got a chicken or an egg question for you, Rasul. What comes first, confidence or cockiness or something like confidence or talking? And he said, the confidence, he was essentially saying, you've got to prove you can do it, and then you can talk about doing it. And yes, he certainly did that last year. All of that to say, Eric Stokes got into a fight on Wednesday. And the defense immediately rallied to him. Ryan, I know you asked him about that on Wednesday afternoon, so I'll just kind of let you share what he said.
Yeah, so I first thing I asked him was, do you think that might happen today? Because they, you know, the those lumps that Aaron Rodgers has been talking about, the defense dishing out to his offense, they dished out to the Saints on day one. So after dishing out those lumps, do you have a feeling it might get chippy? He's like, yeah, that was on the radar. I didn't know what happened so soon, because it was like the first five plays. I mean, it was right at the Spoon. I was still trying to go over the attendance with you in the kind of the middle of the field when it broke out, and I ran down and I saw what happened. So yeah, basically,
it was the second play. I think it was the second play of the drill,
like right away. And so basically, talking with Eric Stokes. I had not talked to the other party being Jarvis Landry. So this is a one-sided account. But talking to Eric Stokes, he said that Jarvis, he noticed right away that the kind of the energy that Jarvis Landry was going to bring, which was a little bit after the whistle, according to Eric Stokes. And that he said that he got shoved essentially after the whistle, and he wanted to go back down. And the way Eric Stokes said is that Jarvis Landry tried to big boy him. And he's like, I ain't going to little boy nobody. I'm a grown man, and I'm not going to take disrespect. So he wasn't going to have that. And he shoved back. And then the entire Packers defense came and rallied to his aid, which prompted the Saints offense to rally to Jarvis Landry's aid. One of the Saints writers said that Jarvis Landry got thrown out of practice too. I asked, you know, what does that say about this defense that they were so quick to, and he's like, oh, that's a given. They said, we talk about that every day. It's ride or die. You know, it's you want to ride with these guys. And if one person gets in whatever, whoever it is, whatever happens, one person needs something, the entire defense is going to go there. So there was a togetherness that you saw today as well. But I don't think it's a surprise that day two had some fights. I think that the fact that it was immediate is not what I expected.
And, you know, Ryan, when the guys say things like that, like, well, if it's, you know, if you go after one, you go after all, they're ride or die. These are my brothers and we're not going to take any disrespect. That's the right thing to say. That's what you want to hear a guy say. So you think, okay, well, any team would be like that. Guys, I've been around some losing teams and it's not always like that. That's what they say they want to happen, but it's not what always happens. One guy gets into a fight, he's on his own. I ain't worried about that, you know. Or if you constantly are being disrespected, you expect it, and you don't, it's not that you like it and don't mind it, but you just expect it, so it rolls off your back at that point. So
my favorite altercation today, this was just classic, was they were doing punt coverage, and I think KB and Ento was the flyer, and then there was a Saints, I can't remember who it was. And so they're both locked up after the play, and neither one will let go, you know? And then they're both got one arm on each other, and they just won't let go, you know? And it's just like, who's going to be the last one to let go? And I'm just like, really? You know, you can't be the first to let go. So they're like jostling, you know, nobody's going to throw a punch, you know, but they're just like, I'm not letting go.
That sounds like two little brothers. No, you let go. It's not going to be me. Yeah, I'm having fun. This is so silly.
I'm thinking my children right now, 10 and 8-year-old twins. That's exactly what they do.
All of that to say, this defense, guys, we had a feeling of who they could be. And granted, they have not yet played an actual game. A lot of the ones on defense didn't play versus San Francisco. So the past 2 days were the first chance we had to see what the starters on defense could do against a different offense. Matt LaFleur actually credited the Saints offense on Wednesday morning. He said they threw some route combinations our defense had not seen yet. Some that he even liked so much, he said he was going to steal them. But that they gave the defense some different looks than they had seen. But it's safe to say Packers defense pretty much dominated every way they needed to against this Saints offense. Is that fair to say? And with that in mind, do we feel like this defense is going to be who we thought they would be?
Well, they dominated every way, but they kind of expected to, because one, the Saints don't have their starting quarterback. They had Andy Dalton, and two, their starting quarterback's Jameis Winston anyway. So this is not offensively, this is not a Saints offense that is blessed with great quarterback play, which means it's not a Saints offense with a particularly high ceiling, right? I mean, this is a very good Saints defense, really at all levels, but the Saints offense, they've got playmakers around the quarterback position. You know, Chris Olave had a really good day today for the Saints. He even beat Jair Alexander, the 2-minute draw on the out route, beat Rasul Douglas deep down the left sideline. Yeah, yeah, the rookie from Ohio State, he had a good day today. Alvin Kamara, fantastic player. They've got playmakers, but quarterback, it's not a Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes type deal on that side of the ball. So, they did what they needed to do.
Spoon, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think I covered the defense early, you know, with their pass rush. Yeah. I know the only thing I could add is that, Dean Lowry expressed that they want to play against Kansas City. Mm-hmm. The defensive players have been lobbying the coaches to play against Kansas City because they want another opportunity to go against someone different before they head to the regular season. And they kind of felt like they needed that last year and they didn't get it. And then they got crushed by the Saints. So that'll be interesting to see what LaFleur does with the defense. I think it's not a bad idea. They don't need to play him a ton, but they should get him out there and play him a quarter not this week, but next week. Final.
We got a guess on what he might do there going into the next week.
I say not Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, but he plays some starters elsewhere. That's my guess.
Yeah, I can see that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, just to get some of those guys out there on the field together that maybe haven't gotten as many snaps together.
It sure seems like Matt LaFleur is wanting, not just open, but wanting to play his starters, at least some. It just,
why do you say wanting?
Well, one, because history, but and he took that hard, that opener. But two, he's changed the deadline or the decision day for this. You know, at first it was okay, not going to do the opener, and he's leaving the door open for a reason. For Kansas City, there's a reason why. Last year it was no, not doing it. He's left the door open. Why leave the door open if you're not kind of really conflicted and pulled in that direction? It would be good to get him out there a little bit.
That's fair, and something to ask him about beginning of next week. Before they go to Kansas City, though, they play against the Saints at home on Friday in the second preseason game. Another chance for Jordan Love to kind of get out there and run this offense and show if he has more control over it. Guys, a lot of the things that went wrong in San Francisco, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers were very careful and particular to not put on Jordan Love. In one hand, is that fair? And over the past couple of days, especially on Wednesday, he had what I know the two of you and a couple other has said was one of his best series in practice or a game that since he's been in Green Bay. How does he build off of that to head into Friday? What does he need to show Friday to show he's still taking steps forward, I guess is the best way to put it. Spoon?
I think he's got to be more accurate and he's got to hit the throws that are slam dunks. You know, I asked LaFleur about that, and you know, some of the little passes out into the flat he was missing, and maybe the routes aren't perfect, but you know, you got to hit those. Those are so important for moving the chains. You know, you hit one of those little flat routes and you get 6 yards, and all of a sudden, it's second and four, and then you can take a deep shot. And he did do that in the 2-minute drill. His first pass was just something out in the flat for 6 yards. And then he fired down to Amari Rodgers. I mean, that was with the most, probably as hard a ball as he's thrown in a while, down the middle to Rodgers. And then he just threw an absolute beautiful lead pass to Toure for the touchdown. Yeah, he's got to build off that. It's one series. Nobody should be out there, you know, declaring that he's the real thing. He's got to clean up a lot of the little things to me. And I think that's what these preseason games are. Even if guys aren't running the routes, throw the ball away or find a way to get it to them. And, you know, don't make the plays that really hurt a football team.
You're saying we can't overreact after one series? Where's the fun in that?
I'm sorry. I just can't have fun.
That's true. That's one thing I've learned about you, Spoon. Ryan, what do you want to see from Jordan on Friday night?
You know, I get Spoon's point. You know, there were some checkdowns that, what was the one to early in the game to the running back that it was like just miscommunication or whatever. There were some of those. You got to clean those up. I think one of the areas that Jordan Love has actually improved is that he's been making the plays that are there to be made. You know, some of these slam dunks that you talk about, like the ball to Romeo Dobbs for the touchdown, wide open. You got to hit that. Not every quarterback does. It's a wide open layup, right? I mean, sometimes you miss those. He hit that. Samari Toure deep down the middle of the field in family night. He hit that play. Samari Toure wide open on the 50-yard corner in the 2 minute today. He hit that play. You're seeing him make the layups, and I think that's been important. The thing to me, and I thought this before Aaron Rodgers said the same, he's been better on schedule. His footwork's gotten better. His timing's gotten better. He's letting it rip much more than what we've seen in the past. When the play breaks down and going off schedule, he's shown more confidence doing that, getting outside the pocket than we saw the past 2 years, which is really not saying much because he didn't do that at all. I mean, at all the past 2 years, when we saw almost nothing from a play extension standpoint. But that to me is the part of his game that needs to continue to grow the most, because play extensions are really important and they're very difficult to get a feel for. When things break down, that feel for going off schedule and identifying where the play is now and being able to transition that build a play, that's not easy to do. And he's obviously sharing a room with a master at that, with Aaron Rodgers. That to me is, you know, that's Aaron Rodgers said the same. You know, he wants to see Jordan Love, whether it's make a play, throwing the ball outside the pocket, or even just tucking and getting 3 or 4 yards on the ground, just running to keep the down and distance on schedule. Being able to do that more fluently, I think is a big jump for him to make.
Well, we will see about those jumps on Friday night to see if he continues taking it a step forward. As Matt LaFleur has said over and over, usually in reference to the young receivers, can you do it day after day? Can you be consistent? That's what's important. Jordan Love had a great practice on Wednesday. Can he do it on Friday night versus the Saints in a game? We will be there to cover it for you all. Guys, before we sign off, we haven't done this in a while, so let's bring this back. 60 seconds for any final thoughts. Spoon, go. Wow. Good thing you don't work in words, Spoon.
Cheers. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Here's the problem with that, Cassie, is that we're 3 weeks to the day into training camp. And 3 weeks into training camp is the definition of brain dead.
That means you actually know which day it is, which is better than I'm doing right now.
I didn't know yesterday, though. Remember, we're in the office. I'm like, what day is it? I mean, we barely know what day it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me to say anything spontaneous or ad lib anything. I'm glad you asked. I'm actually like, I'm sitting here I'm like, oh boy, it's coming. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, thank you. She asked Spoon first, because I would have sounded exactly like Spoon.
I had a moment the other night where I pulled into my parking spot and I have a push button to start and stop my car. And I literally sat there for a second going, wait, what do I do first? do I put it in park or do I press the button or do I take my seatbelt off? I really didn't know what I did first. It was
camp is really a mentally grueling challenge. You know, we don't get our bodies beaten, battered, bruised, broken like players. I mean, that's a whole nother element, you know, and I can't even comprehend that. But for, I mean, mentally, it is grueling. It is challenging. It's a lot of fun, but.
It is a lot of fun. It is. But yeah, good reps for the season. What do they always say? You want to make practice hard so the games are easy? That's us in training camp. Let's make this part hard so the season's easy. And we aren't that far away from the season, like we said, just a little over 3 weeks to go now. But first, we'll get through Friday night versus the Saints. Kickoff is at 7, I believe. 7. Last time I said kickoff, Spoon vehemently disagreed with me and then realized he was wrong.
I believe you're correct, like I did last time.
I'm pretty sure it's 7 at Lambeau Field. I think it's only streamed locally. So luckily, Tom Silverstein will have full coverage. Are you doing a live blog on Friday night?
Oh, absolutely. I am.
I guess I should have asked that before I committed you to it here on this podcast.
No, you could. That's a slam dunk.
That's a slam dunk. That's what Jordan Love needs to hit is Tom Silverstein doing his live blog. That's the sort of consistency we need from Jordan Love. Yeah, it's only going to be shown on television locally. So luckily stick with Tom on his live blog there on PackersNews.com and he'll have updates for you throughout the game. And then we'll have full wrap up coverage for you afterwards on PackersNews.com. So stick with us there. Thanks so much, guys. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.